do we ever preach on the book of Job? For good reason, right? Because we're afraid of it. We're afraid of sorrow. We're afraid of pain. And so today we look at this, the third chapter of Job, where he expresses the question, why? Seven times. Why is light given to those who are in misery, and life to the bitter of soul? To those who long for death that does not come, who search for it more than hidden treasure, who are filled with gladness and rejoice when they reach the grave? Why is life given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? For sighing has become my daily food, my groans pour out like water. What I feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has come to happen. I have no peace, no quietness, no rest, only turmoil. So then Jesus picks up this theme in some ways when he addresses all of the disciples that are following with him, not just the 12. And he's just told them that unless they eat of his body and blood, the bread of life, unless they do this, they can't have eternal life, but this means that Jesus must die. And they don't understand why. So he says in the book of John, stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I'll raise them up on the last day. It's written in the prophets. They'll be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learn from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God, only he who has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes, they have eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat, and listen to this, and not die. So on hearing this, many of the disciples that were following said, This is too hard. Who can accept this? And aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said, does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? What if you get to see that? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they're full of spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who don't yet believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. Then he said to them, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them or given them power. And from this time, many of his disciples turned back and decided not to follow him, because this is hard. So Jesus looked at the 12, the ones who had been following the whole time, who had seen these miracles, seen everything that Jesus has done, and he said, do you want to leave too? Of course, it's Simon that speaks first. Where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life, God. Where else are we going to go? So as we respond, this is the word of the Lord, you say, thanks be to God. When Job woke up one morning, I'm sure he wasn't thinking his life was going to change horribly. Nobody who suffers tragedy ever wakes up that morning thinking this is the day life changes for the worse. Everything had been going along well for Job, a righteous man. God had blessed him with all sorts of things, with a family, riches, flocks. When Job woke up that morning, I'm sure he doesn't think it was all going to be gone in an instant. And then we reach our reading today when it happens. The one thing that he dreaded, that we all dread. And he only has one question. Why? Maybe you are in this place right now. Maybe you are in a sense of why has this happened to me? Why has this happened to someone in my family? Why did God have to take them? Why not someone else who deserves it? Why? And why am I left in this pain and sorrow and agony? Why? Why is light given to those burdened with grief and life to those whose existence is bitter? I cannot relax. I can't be calm. I have no rest, for my turmoil is endless. Why? About 12 years ago, I got a telephone call from a woman. And she said, my daughter has died. My daughter Doris, who's 40. As she called me on the phone, I happened to be in our sunroom, if you will. It was a cold day, but the sun had been shining. It was shining in on the window. And I wrote a song about it, and someday I'll play it for you. I'm not going to do that today. It's called Not Today. The sun shouldn't be shining today. And we get that from Job's words. How can the sun shine on a day like this? No one woke up in December of 2019 and expected these Jobian circumstances. No one expected fires to ravage the hills and the country. No one expected people to lose life, livestock, land. No one was prepared for that day. To have the rug pulled out from under us, unable to live and to move and, yes, to breathe. We've lost people. We've lost contact. We've lost all sorts of things. Today's not just about the people who have died and gone before us. It's about people we can't get a hold of. Our brothers and sisters in Victoria. The people who are isolated in their homes. The people who are isolated in hospitals, in nursing homes. We remember, and it hurts. How can we possibly respond when we don't understand? And Job takes us to the place that we probably can't even express in chapter 19, verse 25. In the midst of this, but I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end he will stand on my dust. Even after my skin has been destroyed, yet then will I see God in the flesh. I'll see him myself, and my eyes will look on him no longer as a stranger, and my heart longs within me. You know what? God wins. We tend to think that the dust is the end, that the death is the end. You know what? God wins. Yeah. No one expected the disciples, no one of the disciples expected that morning that Jesus would say, I'm going to die and you're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood. No one expected that. No one expected that Jesus would say, unless you do this, you don't get a part of me. Simon Peter then answered, well, what are we going to do? Where else are we going to go? Why are you doing this? I don't understand. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and come to know that you're the Holy One. We have these things, but why? Why do we have to suffer? Because God wins. And that's the way life is. When all else fails, we fall back on the promise of God, because what God has promised, God will bring about. Heart and mind, soul and strength. And when we say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We don't understand. We might not understand why, but we do understand that God wins. We don't understand. We don't want to suffer. We certainly don't want to lose. But because you live, because you, God, have promised us like you have in the past, we will trust beyond what seems capable because you have the strength to give us. Today, as we remember, we don't understand. We don't like suffering. But God wins. I hope that resonates inside your heart and your soul. God wins. Let's pray. We remember all the promises of the past, the prophets, who pointed to you, Jesus Christ, who have given us the opportunity to enter the kingdom of God right here and right now. There is no power on earth, above, below, anywhere else that can compare with you. We know that you win. Guide us through this life of both joy and sorrow, and let us lean on each other no matter what happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.